that episode or not to.
I mean, if the child comes a little early, you know.
That was the problem.
Yes, exactly.
That was the problem. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Did you know at that time that it was a Down syndrome child?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
And that is trisomy 21?
Yeah.
It's not mosaic?
No.
So.
You're feeling better now.
We're all right. And generally, how has the health been of the baby since birth?
Perfect.
Yeah.
He had the heart defect. AV canal, is it?
I'm not sure.
So basically a hole in the heart between the two bottom and the two top chambers. There's two holes in the heart. And also the heart valve wasn't properly formed. So at 3 months old he got surgery and it was a perfect job and he's been right ever since. Up until then his lungs were filling up with fluid because the blood pressure in the lungs was too high.
Before that.
So he was on Lasix for the first 3 months of his life just to keep his lungs clear.
Yeah.
And then after the heart operation, he came off all the medicine and he's been fine.
He likes that.
He's been very good. He's been stuck in a car for 1.5 hours.
Yes, good boy. I'm sleeping somewhere.
Fortunately, it's just the right time for his morning sleep.
Yeah,
and that's by the time we go back, it'll probably be just the right time for his midday sleep. So I think it will work out quite well.
Yes, and that's the best place to sleep in the car, isn't it? Nice and soothing.
Well, actually, he's got a 1,000-watt smile, this guy.
Tickle. Yes. So, birth, how was birth?
Birth was very quick. No problems. For him anyway, there was a problem afterwards with the placenta, but he came out. He was born.
But it was a retained placenta?
So he came out in no time at all, half an hour. You know, it was all over pretty soon.
That was... Have you got other children as well?
Yeah.
So number...
Two, okay. Yeah. He's a 13-year-old sister.
Right.
Now let's set you up.
Okay.
And
yes, I've got a brother that's 13 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
So, number 13. Right, so the Axons operations above. What about vaccinations?
He's had all his vaccinations. It's always a difficult thing to try to know what to do. Because I've read so much stuff about the way they make the vaccinations, and, you know, the mercury and all sorts of formaldehyde and all sorts of poisons in them. But anyway,
he decided to go
out and hope that his system is strong enough to take it, and it seems to be.
How's been development so far compared to, let's say, a non-Down syndrome baby? Do you have any comparisons there?
It's difficult for me to know because I don't have anything to compare him to. You know, I don't have so much direct experience. His big sister's 13 years ago,
yes,
you know, so I've forgotten.
Can't remember what happened when.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the other carers who are experienced... up in the Tweed Valley, there's organization of special carers, specialists, physiotherapists, speech therapists, different people who kind of get involved if there's a child with some birth defect or whatever. Anyway, they've been to see him and they reckon that he's pretty high functioning. You know, as far as Down's kids go.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at him, he seems, you know, pretty awake, alert, aware of, you know.
Very alert. I mean, as far as I can see, he's alert as alert as a normal child. He recognizes words. You know, there's a few words I know that he recognizes, just from his body language, and he probably recognizes a lot more. But at least there's, you know, you can tell him is, he knows what milk is, he knows what a drink is, he knows who mum, he knows who dad, he knows what 1 minute means, so if I've got to leave the room. Lots of little things, so his hearing's great, he's very alert, good attention span, you know, he can engage with people and he can stay with you. From a very early age, he actually had a very good attention. If you talked to him or something, he would lock into you and stay with you for longer than a lot of adults could. So
that's great. What about other things like sitting, crawling?
Sitting, he sits up no problem.
Yeah.
He could sit up. Actually, what I might do even, I might take him out of this tram. And just sit him on the floor in case he wants to roll around.
Yeah, you want to maybe want to put the pram out so he doesn't bang against it.
We'll try that. But
does he sometimes still fall over sitting? Or?
No, not really. Okay. If he wants to get down, he still hasn't really learned how to get down sideways. You know, so he goes down back.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't fall over.
It's a bit tight in this room.
Yeah, it's a bit like our house.
Because otherwise we'll put the pillow behind him if you want to.
No, he's probably quite happy there.
Okay.
So crawling, he can crawl backwards. He certainly rolls around. He can get around, but usually gets around by rolling around. He just in the last week, he's learned to pull himself up on his playpen so he can stand up now. So he holds himself up. What else? As far as his interaction with people goes, he's very confident. Today he's quite subdued, but normally he's laughing all the time, laughing and smiling. So, not shy. His big sister was very shy, and she would only go to her parents, but he'll sit with anyone, and, you know, he's very outgoing and comfortable with people. Doesn't seem to be bothered by strangers, reciprocates, you know, with him, interacts with them quite nicely. So,
well, that's pretty good.
He's a happy child. He never cries. He has to really sort of bang his head hard or do something before he'll cry. And even then, he'll probably cry for 5 seconds and then forget it. So he doesn't have any problems with digestion or any physical ailments. So, you know, so basically we never hear him cry.
So digestion is good. So he, I mean, as much as you can tell, he doesn't get bloated or windy or
no, he doesn't.
He cries with, you know, sort of
nothing like that. Digestion's good.
And empties his bowels every day. And
not always regular, but almost every day. You know, sometimes he has a backlog. You know, and nothing much seems to happen for a day or two, but not enough for us to worry about. You know, I think most of the time his bowel movements are good.
And you feel like they're complete, and then they look like they should be looking at this age.
At this age, I think they do.
They're still, you know, the milk kind of.
Yeah, and there's no bad smells. You know, it's nothing to suggest that problems with the digestion. He's never caught a cold or anything in his life. His big sister, you know, catches everything, but he's never catches anything from her. So he's never had any sniffles or colds.
Good. Well, that's, I really like to hear that.
So he's got a great immune system.
So far. Because that is something that we need to...
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm here today.
Just to guard against anything in the future.
Yeah. they give you to play with? I'll let him go with that for a while, and if he gets bored, I'll get some toys.
Yeah, we've got some cat toys, but they probably have some cat hair on it or something like that.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I've got toys in the car, but he likes stuff like this.
Yeah, no, that's fine, because I'm not having children myself, I'm not really set up.
No.
For toys and things. Well, come back to maybe things in his system. Oh, and another one. There you go. Just running through a bit of family history stuff. What about your own health?
Perfect.
And mother's health?
She's in good health. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's strong. We're both pretty kind of right. Nothing ever goes wrong with us.
May I ask about the age of both of you at the moment?
Yeah, I'm, how old am I? 51, I think. And she's 41.
Right. And your parents, health wise?
They're both dead. Mm-hmm. My mother had a heart problem. I think she died of heart failure. Probably due to a tremendous amount of overwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a lifestyle type thing rather than a congenital thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she's worked herself to death.
Wow.
She had 9 kids.
Oh God.
And you know, 1 kid's a full-time job. 9 kids is more than a full-time job, but as well as that, she had a job.
Yes.
So that's why what I think killed her, just too many years of doing that.
Yes. How old was she when she died?
Quite young, I think. She was in her 50s, maybe mid-50s. And father, I think, he died of bowel cancer. Again, I think it was a lifestyle choice because he spent his whole life eating fried meat, fried eggs, fried sausages, fried bacon, fried everything.
I think that's the culture over there, isn't it?
Well,
frying everything?
It was for him, unfortunately. Mm. He was, because, again, he had 9 children, he had to work 2 jobs, 3 jobs.
Mm.
He had no time to cook.
Mm.
He only had time to fry the food.
Yeah.
So 30 years of frying meat.
Yes, because he was left with those children to look after, I suppose.
No, not necessarily, but, you know, basically just working so much.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he had no time to cook properly. Mm. And, I mean, you know about fried meat, you know what it does to the bowel.
Sure, yeah.
So that's all I ever saw him eating.
Mm. So Scottish?
Scottish, yeah. So I think that both of them, in answer to the question, I think both of them were probably quite strong, healthy people. But because of the very unusual stresses that were put on them because of lifestyle and habits, they died early, you know. But I don't think there was anything, you know, constitutionally wrong with them.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, here we go over.
There you go. You can crawl around if you want.
Right, and your wife and her parents?
The mother's still alive, very healthy. Her father died of, I think it's complications caused by cigarette smoking. And again, as far as I could see, constitutionally, they're strong people. She's sort of unstoppable, and he was a chain smoker all his adult life, so unfortunately he his heart just couldn't take it, you know.
So self-inflicted
unfortunately, but nothing as far as I could see, nothing I'm aware of that's in the system, nothing that's running through the family that's going to cause them any problems.
And your other child, your girl, that's a girl.
Girl, yeah.
And how is she?
She's like a mum, you know, she's very small, very intelligent, very fit. you know, just a normal 13-year-old girl, no problems at all.
But is there Down syndrome somewhere in the family?
No.
And any other things in the family, like uncles, aunts and cousins or so, that has she ever had homocysteine measured?
I don't think so, I don't know.
Because when she comes back, that might be something she should get checked.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to make a note of that and anything that we need to do,
okay.
And I'll follow that through?
Hey, little darling. What's your wife's name?
Janavi,
J-A-H. Yeah.
N-A-V-I.
N-A-V-I. Janavi.
Janavi.
Janavi, okay. The reason why I say that is not every mother, obviously there's no black and white kind of things, but a lot of mothers who give birth to children with Down syndrome, trisomy 21, have elevated homocysteine levels.
What's that?
And homocysteine is a byproduct of metabolism within the body.
Mm.
And it has to do with vitamin B12 and folic acid. So in the sense, like we talk about folic acid and taking that to prevent spina bifida, it's also linked to some mothers who give birth with Down syndrome children. And if we know that homocysteine is high, then, again, there could be several reasons why it is high, but that could predispose her to have a child with Down syndrome.
Okay.
Now, there are two reasons. Either it's high because of diet lifestyle, or it is high because of what we call a genetic polymorphism, which is a mouthful, and it just means a genetic alteration in the mother that predisposes her to high homocysteine, and that predisposes her to have a child with Down syndrome. That's a genetic kind of thing. There's nothing she could have done about it.
Hmm.
But doctors...
But she had one child already.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily that it comes. I think it's probably a combination of previous malnutrition, age, maybe that polymorphism, and various other factors. Nothing is that black and white in life, and we need to gather all the bits and pieces together.
Okay.
But I mean, we're not going into the mother's side, other than for her, if she has high homocysteine, she has a higher risk of other health problems later on in life.
Mm.
And it's just like a prudent thing for her to get that checked, whether she falls into that category.
Okay.
Of women having high homocysteine.
How would we
it's
check
it's a blood test. The doctor would send her to the lab for a blood test.
Okay, so she just goes to the GP.
Yeah.
And asks
for
a referral.
Yeah, we went to the GP next and said, could you please, and you know, check homocysteine as well when she has her next blood test or so. I don't think it's, you know, she doesn't have to rush in or anything. It's not going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is above, I'm going by, it should be really low. They say up to 15 is okay. I say up to 7.5 is okay,
mm-hmm.
half line. So anything beyond, in the top half already of normal is not normal anymore.
Okay.
You know, she's got a higher risk.
And how can it be adjusted?
Very easily with vitamin B12 and folic acid.
B12 and folic acid.
Yeah, okay. Just straightforward vitamins.
Okay, that's fine.
So that is very easy to address, and no drug will address it.
Okay, that's fine.
So, you know, she just needs to take some extra vitamins. And some women, or not only women, but some men have other issues with homocysteine, and for them it's really just a matter of supplementing more throughout life.
Okay.
And it's cheap enough to supplement with that sort of thing. Okay, well, that's fine. In the past it was Lasix. Anything else?
I think that was it. There was a spirolactone as well.
Sorry?
Spirolactone, another... I think one of them was potassium drew potassium out of the body, and the other one replenished potassium.
Yes, lactic straws it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So spironolactone as well to, I think, help keep that potassium in.
Yes.
Do you mind if I switch that phone on a little bit?
No, that's fine.
Right, I'll point it down a bit. Yes. He's a hot little guy.
Yes. That's totally all right.
He gets a heat rush.
Mm-hmm.
And.
That's what the fan is there for. Because I'm not such a cold person, a hot person. That,
yeah.
For me, it's. I don't think of it.
I think that's down as low as it'll go. Okay.
I'll put you in your
come on over this side. That's
oh, better. Look, it blows you in your hair.
That's better.
That's nice and cool. Mm-hmm.
Every day, give him a hot bath, or a hot bath, a cool bath, because he gets heat rash under his arms and around his neck. And, that seems to fix the problem up, keeps him cool.
Right.
But he gets sweaty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have you given him any supplements at all? At this?
I brought something to show you because I don't know if we could cover it today, but I've got him.
No, that's fine. You better show
him. I've got him on a special diet. Well,
maca powder.
He was breastfed up until about 6 months, and then his mother. I think she had to stop, so went over to bottle feeding.
People are starting to die, don't
they? Yeah, it's a bit cold. It came out of the fridge, so it's just a bit wet.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Rupert? Is that cool?
So, what is he getting now, food-wise?
A few things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look here.
Okay. Now, basically, he's on formula milk.
Yeah, it's just normal milk?
Normal, whatever that is.
It's 26 for progress. Mm-hmm. How many bottles a day?
About five a day, from memory. It's about 120 mils, 180 mils.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember exactly, but
mm-hmm.
he's up to 180 now. So I give him about at least four a day, five if you can take them.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that I add different things to the milk.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I put about a third of a teaspoonful of mica powder in the milk, and then the next two feeds,
mm-hmm.
gets a half a teaspoonful, it's got a little wet, of this.
I don't know that one. That's fine, you answer that, I'll just have a look.
Yeah, you'll have to wait.
That's a mineral replacement.
What is it?
It's a mineral replacement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of... How much does he get of this?
About half a teaspoonful.
And that's just once a day?
Twice a day for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the maca powder just once a day?
Once a day, first thing.
Right, and the liquid
next,
okay.
He gets at night, the last feed of the day, he gets that one. This one was given to us by a nutritionist.
Yeah, Dr. Vieira's is normally good, but the Dr. Vieira, some of the stuff we can't get here, so I'm not always up with the Nutri 21, it's Dr. Vieira's.
That's quarter.
The B vitamins. Oh, okay. One quarter.
A quarter of a teaspoonful.
Teaspoon, and that's at night.
Yeah, that's the last.
And that's B vits. And amino acids. It's got a little bit of methionine in it. Okay, fine. Folic acid 500 micrograms. I'm just looking for the folic acid. Oh, that stuff is good. Rhodopsin. I will carry on. Zinc and some minerals in this one too. I'll just check that we are not overdosing him, because both of them contain minerals.
Okay.
Oh no, the vitamins are in there as well. Look, you. Okay. I didn't see that second list. I think with those two you're doubling up.
Are we?
Yeah. They're pretty much, they're very similar. This one's containing some macronutrients as well, like the proteins, the sugars and the fats.
That's the, I'll just see what the name is for the recording.
Yes, so that is the Staff of Life, Real Nourishment. Sorry, I forgot that this is still on. And the Dr. Vieira's Nutri 21 hasn't got the macronutrients, but it has the micronutrients. Some of them are slightly different, you know, some trace elements are more in this, and they are missing here.
In the Nutri 21.
In the Nutri 21. But generally, the Dr. Vieira's are really good formulations. And I don't know so much what that is based on. They don't tell us what, for instance, calcium is bound with. It could be a very poorly absorbable calcium. It could be a highly absorbable calcium. Whereas with the Dr. Vieira's, I know the products, they are highly absorbable formulations. And the calcium that would be in here, that's a pantothenate. So calcium is bound to vitamin B5, so you get two at the same time. And then the rest of the minerals are bound to amino acids, which is a very good transport mechanism into the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah, I just don't want him to get too much, because his body is still very little. I think you've done really well by, you know, supplementing.
Well, there's more.
Yeah. There's more? Okay, well, we'll go through more, but we'll keep those two together. And
that's
why
I'm here, to make sure that I'm not giving him too much.
Right, what else have we got?
Now,
Floridix to me.
Floridix?
Yeah.
I don't actually know what's in my pill. I know it's very nutritious, but I've never really
It's an immune stimulant kind of herbal kind of thing. It's not a nutritious thing as such. It's more a herb kind of thing.
Okay.
So the Floridix, how much do you give him of that?
A capsule would be about 5 mil.
Yeah.
So he'll probably get the equivalent of about a mil.
A day.
A day. And what happens with this is that every morning I make a preparation. I get organic date, fig and raisin.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe 100 grams of date, fig and raisin. I make a fruit shake in a blender.
Dates, figs.
And raisins.
Raisins,
and
yep.
Goji berries.
Mm-hmm. Goji, mm-hmm.
And I put in, this is my own drink.
That's your drink,
which
okay.
I share a little bit with him.
Okay, right.
So
mm-hmm.
he gets, that's the base of the drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put a spoonful of molasses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear.
That was a bit hard.
Oh dear. Oh no, that was a bang in the head. Oh dear. Oh, what a bang, I felt that.
I see what you mean, you know.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I mean, that was quite a hard, the kids would cry for.
That was a hard bang.
Yes.
But it's
for a moment and it's all...
It's all over.
It's more the shock of falling over and the...
Well, I felt the bang when his head hit it.
Oh, did it actually hit the chair?
It hit the chair. It hit the edge, it hit the corner of the chair.
Oh,
then it hit the floor.
Oh, that is,
he's such a good boy. It's just so easy to just get back to normal.
Yes.
You can play with this down here if you want.
Yes. So what is this one? I don't think.
Oh, this one.
Do we have
well,
it? I haven't.
Yeah, I'll just tell you what's in it.
Yeah.
So into this mixture.
Oh yes, in the yeah.
I put a half a teaspoon, okay. A small teaspoon of glucosamine.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
About 10 mils of
mm-hmm.
liquid B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And, what would you like to play with? If you want a drink.
You want to go down.
I can give you a drink. Yeah, let's have a drink.
Okay.
Yeah, you come this side. Have a drink first, and then you can go down.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 mils of Floridix. A teaspoonful of what's it called? The seaweed powder. What's it called?
Kelp, spirulina.
Kelp.
Kelp.
Powder. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Has 5 mils of liquid minerals. From
is that
from a bottle of? I think it's in a box there. Liquid minerals.
Are those the what the colloidal minerals?
I think so. I'll just get it out of the box.
No, it's fine. I can
do you want some more? Okay.
Yeah, colloidal minerals.
Colloidal minerals.
Yeah.
Oh. There we go. There it is. It's almost as though nothing happened. It's a bit of a.
Yeah, and what else goes into
this? Some papaya leaf
mm-hmm.
from the tree. Small piece of papaya leaf, maybe
mm-hmm.
two
mm-hmm.
square inches. And some fresh aloe vera, maybe 50 grams of fresh aloe vera from the garden. And I blend it,
mm-hmm.
then strain it. That makes up about 3/4 of a litre. And I'll
so you make it up with water?
I make it up with,
mm-hmm.
with water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll give him maybe about 40 mils, 40,
mm-hmm.
50 mils, 60 mils if he can take it. He doesn't always want it. Sometimes he drinks it down.
The rest is for Dad.
And the rest is for Dad. So
mm-hmm.
And that's breakfast for me
mm-hmm.
every day.
Right.
So it's a bit of a speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're covering a lot of bases.
I'm trying to.
Yes.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You're not very hungry right now.
Okay. Well, that explains. And the B vitals. What about those?
No, that's actually left over from when before he was born.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to bring the information, but this lady was aware of the...
I know, the orthopex range, yeah.
She gave
mm-hmm.
Genevieve a whole lot of things to take. You know, there was vitamin C powder, this, I think maybe Nutri 21 as well, I can't remember. What else? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I could probably phone her, actually, just, you know, ask her. But there was a whole bunch of stuff like this to give him extra nutrition in the womb.
Yeah, it was so that B vitamin, was that during the pregnancy or before?
During the pregnancy.
Yeah,
because we only kind of got onto this maybe when he was about. Don't eat that. Where is it? Give it to me. Let's have that. Where's it going? Show me your mouth. Open up. Nice. He eats paper as well. We feed him.
Yeah.
As you can see, we feed him.
You feed him paper too.
Paper as well. Yeah. Only the best paper, though.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's the milk.
You wash it down.
Yeah.
So, was it after she had been diagnosed?
After she'd been diagnosed.
Yeah.
And I think, I can't remember exactly what it was, maybe about halfway through the pregnancy, she went onto this special diet.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't like milk. I might try with some water later.
Yes.
Now, you sit down here. I might get that pillow from you if I can.
Just over there.
We try not to bang his head more than once a day.
Yeah, that is fair enough.
She was on this diet while she was pregnant, and then while she was breastfeeding, and then after about, I think it's about 6 months, he went over to the formula.
That's fine. Now that's great. Now.
But then also, I'm not having much luck feeding him right now. I don't know if he's got a tooth coming or something, but this week he's not really very enthusiastic. But normally his mum will feed him, because we're vegetarians.
Yeah.
So normally his mum would feed him avocado.
But so you also,
you know,
okay,
during the day, avocado, banana, peach. Mashed potatoes, mashed pumpkin, sweet potato.
Yeah, what else would you eat?
It's cereal, as in powdered cereal for babies. I'm not sure whether it's Farix, I think the brand name is. It's a rice cereal. I'm not sure what it's got in it. What else? Mostly stuff that's all mashed up at this point in his life. He's not really chewing yet.
What about protein? What does he have as protein?
Also little jars of what do you call it? Lentil. Jars of lentils. These are just the stuff that's already formulated for babies, you know.
Do you give him soy at all?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay. What about other dairy products other than what's in there?
Nothing really. I don't actually usually look after him full time, so his mum could tell you probably more, but I think I've covered most of it.
No, that's fine. Your wife or the mother has been vegetarian for some time?
We've both been vegetarian for over 20 years.
Okay. So what is your source of protein for the two of you?
Protein, soy products, pulses.
Do you eat dairy?
Some milk, yeah, milk and cheese. Dal.
Yeah, that's the pulse. Yeah.
Stuff like that, beans, dal.
That's
all I can think of, really.
Do you eat eggs?
No.
Well, I will come back, so that's... it's not relevant. Let me just see. So energy levels are really good with the child, obviously.
Yes, I think he's quite normal.
So what, a 10 out of 10 energy-wise?
Yeah, he's fine.
And well-being the same? Well-being a 10 out of 10?
More than 10 out of 10, yeah. He's
10 plus.
10 plus. He's the happiest child.
Yes, I think you have done really well for what it is. That's what I wanted to ask. I knew there was something else. Well, how was it detected that...
He had Down
syndrome in the womb.
Just a
scan.
Test actually. No, it was a scan. I think
they measured the neck of the.
They measured the neck. They measured the. They saw. They looked at the heart.
Yeah.
The technician was looking at the heart, and I think she saw some heart defect.
Yes.
Although she wasn't very sure, so they got the mother tested. Mm-hmm. There was an amniocentesis.
Yeah.
And then they knew for sure.
Yeah. Yes. And he doesn't get any colds. Nothing there. What's his skin like? He gets rashes, you were saying.
He's a little susceptible to the heat. He does get heat rashes.
Mm-hmm.
Where his skin hasn't been able to breathe, so if he's lying down on a hot day, he'll get heat rashes under his arms, sometimes on his neck.
Mm-hmm.
But that clears up pretty quick. Usually if he's in the bath for half an hour, then it's gone. And even on a hot day, if he's kept cool like this, then he's fine. He doesn't get heat rashes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just where he's been really sweating.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed quite early on that he was a hot little boy.
Mm-hmm.
At night, before he goes to bed, he tends to be quite hot. I mean, a kind of normal thing. I think, the liver's working real hard just to kind of burn up the food.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's hot before he goes to bed, so we keep him cool. And then once he's been asleep for a while, we put some extra clothes on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's fine. Mm-hmm. But he's strong, he's also, he's very strong baby, so he's sometimes if you grab something, it takes two people to pull it off him.
Perfect.
If he's in the chair, with the wheels, if you pick him out of the chair, he'll hang onto the chair and it'll come up as well at the same time. Really. So he can actually hold his own weight. If he's got a good grip on something, he can hold his own weight. So I think with those kind of muscles, then it's not surprising that he's hot.
Mm. Yeah. There could be another reason too that he is hot. He's getting high doses of B vitamins, and they also contain one of the B vitamins, niacin, which tends to lead to vasodilation. That means it opens up the blood vessels, and people get flushing and heat rushes and things like that. So it might be just that he's getting a bit much niacin with all the kind of things you're giving him.
This happened.
Mm-hmm.
He was like this before I gave him any of this.
Okay, so
before I started on him on this, he was always, from
But his mother has taken a lot of those things too.
She
and
has,
it does
yeah.
come through in the breast milk.
Okay,
so it might just well be through that. I'm not saying it has to be that way,
yeah.
but it could play a role
so
as
not,
one of the factors.
It's not just his constitution then, it might be.
Yes. Well, it could be well be constitution plus that makes him just that little bit hotter.
Yeah.
But we'll sort that out. I think we need to reduce the B vitamins a bit and be a bit more specific on the Down syndrome side. But
okay,
we'll get there. So other than his skin being hot, you haven't noticed anything else? The hair is fine, nails are fine.
Everything else seems
fine. Yeah.
The only other problem, it's hardly a problem, is just that his eye has been a little weepy.
Okay.
From birth, the nurse said that that's...
Which one?
The right eye.
Mm-hmm.
Tended to be a little weepy and... it's never been red, he never got conjunctivitis, but it's always just been a little weepy.
Mm.
And in the last few weeks he's had a spot of redness on his eyelid.
Mm.
And that's the only thing that I can ever remember that's been a problem. His chest is a little noisy because, you know, the first 3 months of his life there was a lot of damage being done to his lungs.
Right.
But, you know, his breathing's a little rattly. But I think also the Down's baby's nasal passages are smaller.
Yeah, that's correct.
As well, and they tend to... to snore and make a bit more noise when they try and breathe through the nose, but I think his chest also is a little noisy. But nothing that the doctors are worried about. I think it's just a residual
yes.
effect of having that heart problem.
Yeah.
You can hear him now. Just.
Yeah. What about sleep?
Sleep is fine. He goes to bed quite late. Well, he sleeps about four times during the day. Between 9 and 10, probably between 12 and 2, between 4 and 6.
Okay, so what, an hour?
At least each time is an hour to an hour and a half. Four times altogether, and then at around about 11 o'clock at night he'll drop off and he'll sleep through till about 7 or 8 in the morning.
So a bit of a night owl developing there.
Yeah.
And what is he like when he first wakes up from a sleep at night or at the day?
Smiles.
So he'd say he's refreshed from a sleep.
He's refreshed.
Yeah.
He's always he's always happy.
Do you find like he's sort of calling out in his sleep or has nightmares or any of those kind of things?
No, nothing.
Mm.
The only time if he gets restless, if he hasn't drunk much before he goes to sleep, or hasn't eaten much, he might get restless, and then about 1 or 2, he'll wake up for a feed. But if he eats plenty, if he's eating's regular, and you know he has a big bottle of milk before he goes to bed or something to eat, then he'll sleep right through.
Right.
Are you okay?
Issue, so that's fine. So anything else that you give him, like you said, a bit of fruit, then a little bit of your drink in the morning and the formula. And that's about and a bit of the rice and lentil kind of things that he has.
Yeah.
That's about his diet.
Yeah, as far as I can remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Mashed vegetables.
Yes.
You know.
Food and the mashed vegetables.
Yeah, it's
Are you giving him bread or any of those things?
Sometimes this one gives him bits of bread to chew on.
Mm.
You know, usually. But he doesn't really eat it. You know, he just pulls it apart, he shreds it and throws it around.
Yeah. I'm okay to wait for another 6 months at least, you know, until some molar teeth are actually coming through.
Also, I kind of worry that he'll choke on it because he hasn't really got his chewing right yet.
Yes. Yeah, no, that is a wise kind of thing. The other thing is to, like with Down syndrome, your doctor might have told you that they're more prone, that doesn't mean they have to get it, but they're more prone to certain health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Did your doctor talk about that, or did you find out about those things?
Well, I'm sure he did, but we've also read a lot about it, so, I mean, the one thing that I remember is, you know, the ear, you know, the glue ear, if he ever gets any dental work done or anything that involves cutting into the body, he has to go on antibiotics first. This is what they say.
Yeah, I think that is a precaution.
Yeah.
That goes because they're more prone to immune problems.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. That's why they're more prone to ear infections, more prone to whatever else. But that can be, you know, we can safeguard against that to some extent anyway. So immune problems is an issue. Thyroid problems, that's later on in life.
Yeah.
They're more prone to thyroid, hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
And then the metabolism slows right down, they tend to put on some weight and so on.
Yeah.
The other thing is celiac disease, which is gluten intolerance.
Okay.
And hence I wouldn't want him to have anything with gluten at this stage to avoid sensitization as long as he possibly can.
Okay.
And so by 18 months by the earliest to give him some bread, but to be on the safe side, keep the gluten in his diet very, very low. So gluten, first and foremost, it's wheat, but it's also oats, barley, and rye. So if you can give him like rice or corn or any other kind of grains,
mm-hmm.
Spelt has also gluten in it because it's an old form of wheat,
mm-hmm.
And keep that to a minimum or rotate it, give it only once or twice a week. And wait till he's a bit older and the system is more mature and can cope with it better. That way you're more than likely to avoid the gluten intolerance later on in life.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's easy enough.
Yeah, that's easy. And you're aware of diet and you're looking, you know, you are into good diets. Hello, darling. You want to say hi to Mum on the tape? She'll hear you and nobody else.
Yeah, it's... It's all about you, just a bit of attention. You're overdue for it.
Yes.
Needs a bit of attention.
Fine. Yes, of course, we all do, and that's quite okay. Yes, I mean, that he is so good and alert and with it and doing the things he is doing is thanks to you putting a lot of goodies into him in, you know, wherever you can.
Yeah.
And we'll just streamline it a bit for him.
That's good.
But back to the health problems, the other thing that they are more prone to is early heart disease and early dementia.
Yeah.
And I mean the heart disease, we already saw the defect in the heart there. So his heart would have a certain amount of weakness,
okay.
You know, from the operations and from whatever has been done to it and from the congenital kind of problems he had at birth.
Yeah.
So we really need to look after his heart. And dementia, of course, is also a big one with Down syndrome. People, when they get into their 20s, 30s, it's like a premature aging.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is part of the metabolic cycle of those people. Now I'll just grab a scribble paper.
Okay.
And I shall draw something down here for you. Let me get a plain piece of paper. I don't want lines because that's not...
interferes. What's she doing? Go on, you just try and pull it off. You want to roll about a bit more? A bit more rolling? You want to pull things off the
off the wall, is that what it is? What else can we find you to play with?
Just doing a bit of a drawing
That's
here.
good.
This one also goes. I'm taking it right into biochemistry here.
That's good, yeah. It's I'm a bit rusty with chemistry, so.
Sustain, and here is glutathione. And we need B6, and here is beta synthase, and this is the issue. Now, just because of this little bit here, which is an enzyme.
Now, could you do me a favor?
Yes.
When you're talking about each part of this drawing, could you put a number next to it?
Yeah.
And then when we're,
okay.
we're looking at it later together.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll say the names,
okay,
and then
fine.
you can see that
that's
it's
fine.
Probably easier.
Okay.
Yeah, homocysteine, I mentioned that before, is often high in the mothers. In the children with Down syndrome or trisomy 21, it's actually low. And the reason of it is that CBS, cystathionine beta synthase. So CBS equals cystathionine beta synthase. Now, anything ending in ASE is an enzyme.
Yeah.
Right? That enzyme happens to sit on the gene number 21. So he's got three of those.
Yeah. Just
careful,
doing his job.
Careful. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, cheap glasses.
Yeah, well, as long as they work. So that enzyme here is overexpressed in him, and it sucks homocysteine down that way. Right? So this one is like a really big, strong arrow.
I'll just put this here.
So I'm putting a strong arrow there, down from homocysteine, next to beta cystathionine beta synthase, which the next step is cystathione, cysteine, which is another amino acid, and glutathione. Now, it also needs vitamin B6 as a cofactor, which is supplied, obviously, with this B vitamins that you're giving him, but it's also in the diet. Homocysteine, then, is not available so much anymore, and it's all a relative kind of thing. You know, it's not black and white. But the relative thing is it can't convert to methionine as much as it needs to in normal people.
Yeah.
So he's got a relative lack of methionine. And methionine is the same as homocysteine, but it's got a methyl group on it.
Yes.
That methyl group initially comes from folate or folic acid through the diet. That methyl group is given, I'll highlight that, you can see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's given to vitamin B12 in the process. It can't give it to homocysteine directly. So you see that folic acid plus vitamin B12, they're both involved in the homocysteine metabolism. That's why I said before, if your wife, partner, whatever, mother of the child, wife, has got high homocysteine, she needs both folic acid as well as B12 to get rid of it.
Okay.
And that methyl group appears again here, being attached to methionine. But methionine is only a carrier. They're all carriers of that methyl group. Where it needs to go is finally up here, and that's methylation, and I'll write this down. That goes into gene material. Real, it goes into neurotransmitters.
That causes the dementia
as well as the heart disease. High homocysteine is linked to heart disease. But high homocysteine is because then this one is blocked. Obviously, otherwise it'll go over here. But low homocysteine is also, you know, too low homocysteine because this one is all blocked. So this one here is not happening as much as it should be, so you're ending up with lack of methyl groups right up the top. And we need to make sure we get some extra methyl group into this child. So that is one thing. It also gets pushed down that way. Now, glutathione exists. So glutathione, right down the bottom of this pathway, you think those children have a lot of glutathione. But glutathione, which is a natural antioxidant within the body, exists in two forms, oxidized and reduced. So there's two forms, oxidized and reduced. And it can only work as an antioxidant in the reduced form. But we find with those children, they have a high amount of oxidized glutathione. So they've got a lot of that, but they can't utilize it. Because why it's in the oxidized form, we are not totally sure. But that's what has been found in research, you know, with those children. So we need to make sure we get it, we shift it back to the reduced form. And we need to make sure we get some methyl groups up here. And there is one other issue. Those are the three main issues with those Down syndrome children. If that methyl group can't split from the folate in the first place, because it, homocysteine doesn't want it because it goes down here, then what we call this is a folate trap. This kind of folate also is needed for cellular regeneration, genetic material, you know, purine bases, and whatever else goes into DNA, RNA kind of production. And if it's methylated and it stays methylated, we have a relative lack of folate. So I'm putting some arrows in here. That one is down, that bit is down, and glutathione, the oxidized form, is up, and the reduced form is down. And homocysteine is down because it gets channeled into this pathway. And methionine necessarily is down. That's why SAM is down. SAM stands for S-adenosylmethionine. You know, adenosine comes in here, and SAH is obviously S-adenosyl homocysteine. And that is just a functional group the body puts on here, takes it off again, and recycles it. So this is for completeness sake that you understand where the A comes from. And the S is just, it stands for the way we have amino acids. Those are amino acids that we get from the diet. Methionine is something from the diet, usually. And amino acids can... You can have an amino acid that looks like your right hand and one like your left hand. And the S stands for the left hand because only the left hand amino acids are taken by the system. The right hand is a mirror image. They can't, the body can't recognize it. So we all need our amino acids either in L form. Some say L, some say S. But that's just internal kind of thing that you don't really need to know that much. But the important thing is that we don't have enough folate. So out of this comes lack of functional folate. Despite being enough folate in the body, but it doesn't function. And we have lack of what we call methylation relation. And we we have high oxidative stress in the system that comes from that high oxidized glutathione.
Mm.
And homocysteine can give oxidative stress if it's very high as well, but that's not so much the case. So these are the three things that we need to address.
Okay.
Right? So we address this in, and those are the things too, like the oxidative stress, oxidative damage is not only on the cellular things, that also gives rise to dementia early, as well as the lack of methylation.
That attacks the myelin and the neurons, doesn't it?
Yes, it's needed for, it just damages whatever cells, and cells are right through the body,
yeah.
You know, and so we need to supply him with antioxidants, which we don't have in this form. We have a minimal amount in those multis,
mm-hmm.
that are in there, but I would like to go much higher.
Yeah.
And one thing we can only get from overseas is that functional folate, because if you give him more folate, it just stays trapped.
Hmm.
We need to bypass the folate with a substance called folinic acid, and it is in a product called Folacal. And that is made by a firm called Thorn. And I shall give you their phone number in a moment.
Okay.
They're over in New Zealand, but they have a toll-free number to New Zealand, so it's pretty easy
yeah.
to order. It's a practitioner-only one, so they will excuse me, ask you who prescribed it, so you mention my name,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll send it out. Otherwise, they don't send it out to any kind
of... So they know you? It.
Yes, yes, yeah. I'm registered with them.
Okay, that's
and
fine.
I have a number of patients on the Thorn products.
Okay.
So the Folacal... But there's 800 micrograms in there, which is a bit high. So we need 1/4. We don't need much, but we need a little bit of it. 1/4 caps. They're all in capsules, so they're easy to open a day. And you can, you know, mix it in. And it's pretty tasteless, you know,
okay.
in with the food. And so from, oh, he's nearly a year. Okay, keep that there for 6 months, then increase, and you can increase slowly over that time to 1/2 cap a day.
By which age?
Caps, yeah.
Within the 6 months.
Within
period.
The 6 months. So when he's about 18 months, you know, then we'll
work
have him
half.
On half.
Okay.
And... And then I would hold it on 1/2 cap until he's about 5 years old. But you know, I hope
we'll talk before then.
Yeah, we'll talk before then. So it's just sort of at the moment. Then I'd like, there is a little bit of methionine in this one here.
Yeah.
But can I just have a look again how much we're actually getting? Methionine. I thought I'd seen it in this one. Oh no, it was in the other one.
It was in this one. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. It's in this one. Methionine, 25 milligrams. That is, it's too little.
It's too little.
That's because it's such a nutrient mix, they can't put any more in. There is methionine in a product by Musashi. And you get Musashi stuff over the counter in the health food shop.
That's fine.
And that's more like sports supplements. That's a single amino acid. So it's a container. And they'll tell you how much goes into 1 teaspoon. So you need to work it out.
Okay.
From there, how much do we want? We want about 250 milligrams a day.
Okay.
Which isn't very much. It's 1/4 gram. And just see, you know, normally 4 to 5 grams fits on a teaspoon. So it's really just a pinch, you know, what fits on the top of a knife or so, you know.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so that's all he would need at that age, because I don't want to overload the system. And then there is an antioxidant, OxyGuard, it's called.
OxyGuard.
OxyGuard. And you can pick that up. on your way home, it's a slight detour.
Before we go off this other one.
Yeah.
Could you mention here, just because I'll forget by the time I get back, that this is available from most health food shops.
Yes.
Yes, so as I don't get back on the phone to you saying
where's a health food shop. Okay, so that's a health food shop. That's Sorn, and I'll give you the phone number. OxyGuard, it's PhytoPro or one of those. But anyway, go to the Natural Medicine Clinic.
In town here?
In the university.
Okay.
Medicine Clinic. We've got it on the shelf. And they are in 6 or 8. I always mix it up. What's on this one? Well, you'd think it should be on it.
I can phone them.
It's you'll see it. It's well signposted. I think it's 6 Industry Drive. Industry Drive. Well, there's more. Now, do you know how to get to the university?
I saw the signs for it on the way here.
Okay. When you get down, you will find the signs. You come past 1, 2, 3 roundabouts, and just shortly after the third roundabout is a sign to your left, says University, and that's Cynthia Wilson Drive. That's Invercold Road. Invercold Road goes.
I might have to write this. Maybe stick it on the back here.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's after three roundabouts.
Roundabouts. The next one. So don't turn at the roundabout.
Yep. Take the next
left. That's Invercold. Called Road. Then turn right down a steep hill. You'll see it into Cynthia Wilson, and that's very steep.
Okay.
When it's flat again, or nearly flat again. Flat again. There is McKee Engineering on your right, and upstairs, and it's well signposted. There's a big sign in the front as well.
Okay.
Upstairs is the Natural Medicine Clinic, and they're open now.
Okay.
And you just go in, give them that, and just say you want the OxyGuard from them.
OxyGuard, okay.
Now, I'm not quite sure how strong that is, but it's a powder, and it's the only antioxidant that I can find in a powder. Mm. PhytoPro, I think it is. PhytoPro. You may or may not get it locally in the health food shop. They should be able to order it actually for you, but at least you've started off with them. We don't have methionine on the shelf because we only have practitioner only products, and we don't have the Thorn one because it's from New Zealand. We can't stock that.
Okay.
There's some legal issues with it. It's fine as a patient order, but as a student clinic we're not allowed to stock it.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have it, but not allowed anymore.
Okay.
So unfortunately sort of 3 different places to get those things from. But that shouldn't be a big issue. And the Folacal, all of those, he will be on it for absolutely long term. Probably a life kind of supplement regime. And PhytoPro, I would against OxyGuard, sorry. At a guess. Because I don't have the OxyGuard information here. We start with a quarter teaspoon a day.
Yeah, I can always phone it through.
Ring me again, and I will be in
once
on
I've
Monday.
Got it in front of me, I could probably tell
and
you.
I'll be in the clinic on Monday, so if you really wanted to or needed to,
yeah.
is their phone number is 662-69131. That gets you to the reception. And on Mondays is my clinic day to supervise in there, so they can always get me from wherever I am.
So I should write that down just so I know what that number's for.
Yeah, that's that natural medicine clinic.
Okay.
Just make an arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just separate these.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm easily confused.
Right. That's fine. So that's what you pick up now, and that's and the number I grab in a moment.
That's phone Monday for dosage.
For dosage, yeah. But I've put the dosage in there. I'm pretty much right with this, but you could still phone just to verify, and I shall go and make sure I'll look it up.
Which one is that we're talking about? A lifetime?
All of those
for life.
All of those,
that's fine.
Yeah,
no problem.
And so it's...
Right.
Yeah, and that was, of course, you know,
for Genevieve.
Just to get that checked. Now, the bite saw.
It's the same person's ringing. Do you mind if I just...
No, go for it. Yeah.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hi. I'll be back this afternoon. I'm in Lismore right now, just speaking with a specialist about Rupa. Yeah, no problems. Just talking about diet. Okay. Yeah, well, try that. See if you can, knock 16 on the head before the meet. So it's always a good start. And I'll be back, I guess, mid-afternoon, mid to late afternoon. Right, and I'll see you then. I'll phone you when you get back. Right, good luck.
Yeah, see, he's already getting hot and clammy. So, and I wrote down here, with yearly blood tests, because he will have yearly blood tests. They do that with every Down syndrome child.
Okay. I might put that as a separate item then.
Okay, so with yearly blood tests, also ask, and you need to ask because the doctors are just not on the ball, I'm afraid.
No.
To have homocysteine checked for him, because we're giving methionine, and we're going back. If we give a lot of methionine, we're getting the methyl groups, but as a result of that, it will make more homocysteine.
Yes.
So we need to check homocysteine for the boy as well.
Do we need to check that more at first?
I mean, with your next blood test, check it. I don't know when they do blood tests and how often.
Yeah.
But at least once a year, I would like to see it checked.
Okay.
If your doctor is happy to check it whenever he's taking blood, I don't know how often they do that. Probably just once a year anyway that they keep...
I'm not effects, sure just what the blood tests he's getting. Because his mother usually looks after his...
Yes, sure.
It usually
is once a year that they check thyroid and that they check some real, basic kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay. And so any kind of those blood tests, you can either fax them through to me or run a copy and put them in the mail to me or so. I'd like to keep an eye on it. And if homocysteine can be measured at the same time, then we keep track of how we need to change the methionine, as the folocal needs to come in anyway. But the methionine, I don't want to overdo it because I don't want to end up with high homocysteine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's good to keep track of that.
And once a year is enough for that?
Once a year would be fine.
Okay.
Because it's not going to get outrageously high and blow the whole thing.
So nothing acute is going to happen?
No, nothing acute is going to happen. And some people live happily with high homocysteine for a long time.
Yeah.
Remember, we are also having antioxidants in there, and that in itself keeps some tabs on the homocysteine and the damage it can do, because we're protecting the tissue from damage. So, we're guarding against it. So if it goes a little high, we're not too worried about it. And we have shown, we've looked at some research, and the homocysteine hasn't been too much of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to get that extra methylation into, it's much more important at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's all I can say. And then if we can, you know, keep tabs on the phone or by email, and
okay.
And maybe every 6 months have a, you know, face to face kind of thing.
Right. Now, a few questions.
Yeah. We need to sort out what can stay and what needs to go.
Yeah, that's
yes.
That's number one.
Yeah.
What do we keep? What do we get rid of? Also, I've read that too much iron.
Yes.
Is dangerous.
Yes, that's correct.
So I just wanted to know from this if you can tell.
Yeah. No, the iron needs to go.
It needs to go.
That the fluoridex needs to go.
Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, he hasn't been on that long, so.
Yeah. No, and he has been in small amounts, and it's a very weak sort of iron, you know, so I wouldn't have expected. But because those little fellows with trisomy 21, they are prone to increased levels of a substance called hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Something you can even buy in the shop for bleaching, and so you know peroxide, okay? The peroxide, if we give it together with iron, creates a much more, many times, many thousands of times more damaging free radical.
Oh, okay.
So iron needs to come out.
That needs to come out.
Needs to come out. Of course, you know, iron in the diet is fine, and green leafy veg and what have you, and that's fine because he obviously needs iron, but he doesn't need to overdo it.
Doesn't need extra.
Yes, and that can be easily gleaned from the yearly blood tests that they're doing. We have hemoglobin on it, and if hemoglobin goes down, then we'll run iron studies, and from iron studies, then we can see, you know, what we need to do.
Okay.
But we certainly, any kind of excess free iron in the system is very much damaging to those little fellows.
So Fluoridex is out?
Fluoridex is out.
Right.
And
but for normal, healthy adults, no problem?
Yeah, and no, but you shouldn't have iron either. I mean, as a man, you're not losing it. Unless you have internal bleeds. So Fluoridex is not something that you would need.
Okay.
Your wife, yes, in the sense of she's losing it through periods.
Mm-hmm.
She can do a bit of Fluoridex, and Fluoridex is a very low level of iron, so it's very unlikely to do any damage at that level. But if she hasn't got heavy periods or long-lasting periods and heavy bleeding where she loses a lot of it,
mm-hmm.
for normal women, they hold on to the iron, you know, from the food,
mm-hmm.
and to make up. If they're a bit short of iron after the period, by the time the next period comes, they normally are replete again in iron.
Okay.
So
if you're not losing iron, then you don't need to take any iron supplements?
No, because the iron gets recycled in the body, and you're having it in your diet as well. Although vegetarians have less iron in the diet than meat eaters.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we're having it in food that contains vitamin C that helps the absorption of iron. A vegetarian does not have to be lacking in iron.
Okay.
I have been vegetarian for, 28 years or more.
Mm.
So, although I have reverted to eating a bit of fish, but fish is very low in iron itself too.
It's not like meat.
It's not like meat, you know, it has blood supplies. So the only issue with you folks is vitamin B12.
Yeah.
Are you taking supplements?
Well,
you just whatever's
in
those.
There's this stuff.
Yes, and it has B12 in it.
Yeah.
And I think it has quite a high dose from memory. Cobalamin, 60 micrograms. No, it hasn't.
Okay. Mm. What's that?
Yeah.
You're lying on top of the keys.
Folic acid. Yeah, it's high in folic acid, but it's low in the vitamin B12.
Where would a vegetarian get?
Only supplements.
Only supplements.
Only supplements.
So, yeast?
Minimal amounts, if any. But you see, sometimes they call things vitamin B12, which is theoretically correct, but it's not the right form for the human body.
So it can't metabolize.
It can't metabolize. And so this stuff is cyanocobalamin and all of those. It's small amounts, but if you have good digestion and a good working digestive system, you'll get it out of your supplements. So you'll be reasonably okay. Or about anything that has B vitamins in it. So it's in here, it's in there, and it's in there.
Okay, but is there enough here for...
Here, that's additive. Here it's 60 micrograms, and what's...
Yeah, I don't usually take these. So.
Oh, okay. It's minimal. It's minimal amount. But again, the body holds on to B12 like it's going out of fashion if it doesn't have enough. So it might pay for you at some stage... And again, no hurry, but when you're at the doctor's and he said, let's run some basic blood tests, again, ask for homocysteine. because homocysteine, as well as serum B12, but serum B12 is not a good indicator. Homocysteine is a much better indicator of B12 and folate. And if one of them is not enough, then homocysteine will be up.
Okay.
Then we're still wondering whether it's a folate or whether it's a B12, but this is more a functional kind of thing in the metabolism. Serum B12 is now functional use. Yeah, so
Is there a better supplement than this?
Yes, there is a sublingual B12 that you can take, and I can write it down, and you also get it from the Natural Medicine Clinic.
Okay, just...
Sublingual B12 for parents, for the parents, one a day.
What about our daughter as well, because I'm always worried about B12 in the diet.
Yeah, for the whole family, for parents and daughter. And because it's sublingual, you know, you just suck on it. It's not a monster tablet to swallow or so.
Okay.
And sublingually is better absorbed than a tablet.
Okay.
So sublingual B12, and it's also at Natural Medicine Clinic.
Just dosage as per bottle?
One a day. Natural Medicine Clinic.
So we can let go of that stuff then?
Well, that stuff has got the other B vitamins.
Oh, so it's just B12.
It's just the B12.
Right.
It's just that one single one. The other B vitamins you also get from diet.
Yeah.
But B12 is only in animal products.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's made by bacteria. I mean, a good source is sewage sludge, but I don't think we want to eat that.
No.
So it's made by bacteria. It's a byproduct of bacteria. And it's harvested, you know, basically as a byproduct, like honey is harvested from the bees, kind of thing. You know, it's a byproduct.
What was I going to ask you? I've just gone straight out of my head. Anyway, I remember, I'll ask.
Right. Okay. Right. So, yes, so that's also, and that's for all of you. And that, you know, buy it again, but you need repeat. So.
Just remembered.
Yeah.
Naturopath a few years ago had me recommended something called Tresos B.
Yes, it is similar to this.
Similar to that.
Yeah, similar to
B12
this.
Is not, it can't be assimilated then.
Yes, B12 will be assimilated from any of your B complex things that you're taking, but it's minimal amounts in it.
Yeah.
And this one is only a supplement. That means it does not replace the diet. Any other B vitamins you have from your food, as well as a little bit in there. B12 is the exception. It's very, very low in milk. So low that babies get put their store of B12 in the womb while they get the blood from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
They get the store, and that it's topped up a little bit by the colostrum for the first couple of days of life,
mm-hmm.
before the milk sets in. And once milk comes in, they need to get it from their own liver, from their own stores.
Okay.
You know, the milk doesn't provide, you know, so little, you're not getting enough even if you eat cheese and drink milk.
Okay.
So vegetarians and vegans particularly, they are notoriously low for B12, and that could have been a reason too for this cycle being damaged, high homocysteine, and giving rise, you know, predisposing to a Down syndrome scenario.
Okay.
Right? So the vegetarian and long-term vegetarian, obviously, as your wife was at that.
She's vegan.
Yeah, you know, vegan. There you go. You know, and the B12 is a big issue, and the B12 is an issue with the boy.
Yeah.
So how do we get B12 into a boy? Because the sublingual one is not really suitable. And I hate to give injections to children. An injection is the only other way.
So what about the supplement that you're talking about?
The supplements. Keep him on one of the... can I have the B vitals perhaps again? Well, look how much B12 is in there that he's getting. Cyanocobalamin, 111. It's more... that's 5 mL, that's a metric teaspoon. It's still small amounts, but I think we'll stay with a B vital.
I don't even know if he's taking that now.
We just
got him on this.
I see.
But I could give him the
Nutri-21, yeah, okay. Nutri-21 is fine too. Let me see how much B12 is in this. They have B12 in it as well, I'm sure. Cyanocobalamin, 100 micrograms, is similar. Oh, it's actually stronger because that's a smaller dose. So keep him on that.
Yeah.
As that's like a multi, you know. Keep him on that on, what was it, half a teaspoon or whatever you had, or quarter teaspoon.
Quarter teaspoon.
Quarter teaspoon is fine.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll write down on the back what he stays on. Is that all right?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. Stay on quarter teaspoon Nutri 21.
So just once a day is
21,
enough.
Yeah. Yeah, once a day is fine. And but you're giving him that at night.
Yeah.
I prefer this in the morning.
Okay.
Or during the day.
All right.
Morning. B vitamins can give him extra energy.
Right.
And you want to calm him down at night, yeah. And not, you know, have a bouncy baby at 11 at night. So I'm just checking how much of the, there's nicotinamide in it. There's no nicotinic acid, which is good too, because the nicotinic acid is the one. There are two forms of vitamin B3. One causes that flushing or this extra blood supply and, you know, finally sweating and the like, and one doesn't, and the one that's in here doesn't. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, but other than that, because this is so much of a multi, I wouldn't recommend any of the others.
Okay.
And certainly not the colloidal minerals, because that's my personal attitude towards them. There are heavy metals in there. There are all sorts of nutrients, anti-nutrients in there. There are things in there that they call them minerals, but half the stuff isn't even minerals. There's aluminium in there. There's lead in there. You know, the stuff that.
So should adults avoid that as well?
I wouldn't go near it personally.
Yeah. Yeah,
because of that sort of thing.
For a long time, I've been taking the Blackmore's minerals.
Yes.
And it's chelated minerals.
Yes, that's far better.
Are they better?
Heaps better.
I've had a naturopath prescribe them for me. It's about seven different ones I take or something like that.
Yes, they are much better. They don't contain all the other stuff. They have about 50, 60 things in there.
Yeah.
The periodic system of elements doesn't even contain 60 minerals. You know, like phosphate and the like, silicon, and so they're not minerals anyway.
Okay.
And half the stuff that's in there is just toxic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't recommend the colloidal minerals at all. They say, oh, well, we'll just source it out of the soil. Yes, I know it's in the soil, but do we need to add a plant? We're not eating soil. You know, we're eating a plant, and the plant already filters some of that sort of stuff, accumulates some and eliminates or doesn't absorb some of the others.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't need to add to whatever toxic load we're getting from the environment by then adding some other toxins to the system, however minimal they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, a lot of people swear by colloidal minerals and have them all the time. That's why I say it's my personal attitude, my personal feeling, and what I have read about it and what I know about chemistry. And I certainly know that the things that the thing is, aluminium doesn't belong in there. Arsenic doesn't belong into the system. Beryllium is highly carcinogenic.
So why did
bismuth? I have no known cause. No antimony, perhaps, but bismuth has no. We have no need for it. Boron, yes. Bromine. They used it for epilepsy about 200 years ago, 100 years ago. Cadmium, heavy metal, you know, cigarette smoking. Calcium, fine. Cerium, I have no idea what that is needed for. Cesium can be radioactive. There are some forms of cesium that are radioactive. Chlorine, yes, we need. Chromium is fine. Cobalt, only in the form of vitamin B12.
Yeah.
Not straight cobalt. Copper, yes. Dysprosium, whatever that is.
No, I don't.
It's erbium. There are whole gold, hafnium, lead, iridium, and holmium. And those are things in the periodic system that are way beyond what the human body actually needs. And some of them, I think, they're even making up. You know, this is a periodic system. That's the stuff down here.
This is all man-made stuff.
Sorry?
I thought this was all man-made stuff. This stuff.
We don't need those at all.
Okay.
They're in such traces, and even half the stuff out of the rest we don't need.
Okay.
And some of these things I don't even recognize despite having studied chemistry, and I think some of them, they just make up. They just make up names.
Okay.
You know, get it yourself a book with a periodic system and compare each one of them and see whether you can find them.
Yeah, right.
I would say half the stuff you don't even find.
Well, I know it's just not so much now, but when I took that stuff before, it seemed to actually cause this, you know, disturb the mind. It kind of revved me up.
Yes.
And made me more intense.
Yes.
And,
okay. Sorry, I'll just go. That was just sticky. I've got sticky fingers. I'll just.
Do you want a drink? Rupert, do you want a drink? Have a drink. Have a drink. Do you want a drink?
So with all of that, I'm also trying to avoid him having grommets in the first place. And having those nasal and ear kind of things.
Yeah.
If there's the slightest sign of one of those infections, I'll be happy to, you know, I want to know about it at the first onset, and we'll try and get in with some natural remedies first.
That's good,
and see whether we can do something and avoid the grommet kind of issue.
Yeah. Is that painful for the child?
Well, the infection is painful. I think once the grommets are in, I don't know how they put them in, but... basically, it's a little tube they stick into the eardrum to keep the eardrum open, so whatever goes inside can drain.
Yeah.
And you can't swim and can't get into the water for a while, and you have to be careful. And they are usually within some months or years or so, they're actually pushed out naturally, and that closes over again.
Okay.
But some kids, you know, then they go in the next year and put another lot of grommets in.
Yeah.
And if we can avoid all of that, of course, all the better. Mm. And middle ear infections are often linked to dairy. So,
right.
And if the other thing, of course, if we avoid getting him into a kind of the celiac scenario,
yeah.
Celiac in itself will cause malnutrition,
yeah.
Because the gut, the absorptive power of the gut goes down to about 10% or less. So he doesn't get the nutrients, so hence the malnutrition. Despite feeding the stuff up the top, it goes straight through.
Okay.
So if we avoid that, and on top of that, if that's happening, the body reacts with an immune response. So you've got a real high immune body stuff circulating, and you've got inflammation in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And so those problems I really try to avoid.
Okay.
And I'd rather have a vegan child than a vegetarian child, to be honest.
Yeah.
And make sure you get extra protein.
Well, I guess
mm-hmm.
when is this is the main
yeah at the moment
diet.
It's tricky because at the moment because of the complete protein, and you don't really, it's difficult to get from the other things. Okay, rice and lentils will give you that, but it won't quite give enough, and he's growing, he needs more protein.
Well,
per
what
body
what can we give him?
Yeah, well that is a bit of an issue. I would always recommend a little bit of fish, but you may be against giving fish. But that certainly has a very good protein profile, and at that age he can handle just a little bit of, you know, white fish without your bones and carefully mashed up to feed in. How do you feel about that?
Difficult.
Yeah,
difficult.
I understand
yeah.
that, and I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, it's
you know, we don't know any
yes.
kind of animal slaughter.
Yes, yes, I understand that, and I respect that. Then
that's why we went to a nutritionist
yes.
to try and figure out
yeah.
non-animal sources of nutrition.
Yeah, protein powder. There is a really nice one which is vegan and non-allergenic, which is a rice protein powder, but it tends to be a little bit gritty. But I think he's old enough to handle that. It's not chunky or anything.
Did you mind writing that down?
Okay.
Yeah.
Then protein powder. And again, it's a health food shop thing. Protein powder. It's Ladybird. Rice protein. It says something like hydrolyzed or whatever. Ladybird rice protein. If they have different varieties, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I've got it here. I can actually show you.
Yeah.
So you have a visual image of it.
Okay.
Mm. That's a ladybird rice protein, and that is because it's based on rice.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the soy or the dairy in it.
Yeah.
And it has all the amino acids that you need, and just you know, add a little bit perhaps to, you know, once he's finished the milk, you know, the formula, and I would fortify his food with that.
Only once the formula is finished, not now.
Oh, you can start just a little bit, and I would just say, you know, like quarter of a or half a teaspoon in, like, in his mashed
potatoes and mashed
vegetables.
But just once a day, half a teaspoon.
Yeah, because he still gets protein from there.
Yeah.
Half teaspoon.
As the milk
a day in mashed veg, and increase. Let me just see what the dosages are here. Not suitable for children under 15 years of age. So, okay, forget about that. Do not use if pregnant. Should only be used. Okay. Now, look, forget about that protein powder. I'm crossing this one out.
Yeah.
You can use it for parents.
Okay.
If you need some extra protein.
Yeah, well, it's always a good idea.
Parents.
Definitely, his mum needs
only
protein.
Yes. Okay, for parents only. So I wasn't aware of that. So that makes it really tricky, and I think we'll just keep him on a bit of formula. And I would recommend vary his formula. You know, bit of soy, bit of the milk, bit of something else formula rather, whatever the different formulas are that they have available, and just vary it. And, you know, I have the 3 or 4 containers all up in the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and but have him one, not per feed, but vary per day.
Mm-hmm.
One day on this, next day on something else, next day on something else again. And so he doesn't get sensitized. It's far less likely for a child or for us humans to get sensitized.
Can I just maybe write that down?
Yes, if you write down so what I said.
Soy-based formula?
Yeah, different formulas.
So
whatever different formulas you can get hold of.
Different.
But, I mean, good formulas, obviously.
Different formulas. So, one type would be soy-based.
Yeah,
is that right?
Soy. There is some, I don't know, they have more than just soy, because some children can't have soy nor dairy.
Yeah.
So they've got all sorts of different ones.
And then what other?
Soy, whatever you have.
So it's
milk-based,
then it's a rice-based?
There's probably a rice-based one. And just one day on one formula at a time. I'll just have a little listen to your little rapid chest, and this is going to be cold a little bit. I can't hear anything. Hey, laugh again, that was nice. And let's just see.
This is his little father here.
Yeah,
he's in a
Okay. Yes, babies still have a very fast heartbeat.
Yeah.
Compared to us adults.
All of these formula milks would be fortified as well, wouldn't they? All these.
Yes, they're all in their own rights fine.
Yeah.
They say don't give solely soy to boys, but because of estrogenic effects. But that's more a theory than a real research kind of thing, and. And also because children get sensitized to soy. You know, so if we can avoid getting the boy sensitized to soy and to any of those, and just vary, 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 and then add more, you know, add more solid food, you know, as he now grows. He's a year old, so he can.
What about lentils and dals and peas and stuff?
Fine.
If you make soups and purees.
Yes, you can start introducing that. But again, I wouldn't do it every day, because lentils are also a bit hard to digest. And you know, if we look back to, I tend to go in a diet that is allergy free is basically a diet of the hunters and gatherers.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look, what did they not have? They didn't have grains. They didn't collect grains or do anything with it, not until later. They had vegetables, fruits, roots, you know, kind of things.
Yeah.
And they had meat, fish, and the like.
Yeah.
So it takes out all the dairy. They may have had, but I mean, they didn't hold animals, so they couldn't milk animals, because wild animals can't be milked.
Yeah.
And so all they had is mother's milk, and the mothers had just, you know, vegetables or whatever. It was vegetables, not in the way we know them, the refined kind of product,
yeah.
But just the raw plant food out there,
yeah.
Other than the grains and pulses, they wouldn't have known either, because they need to be soaked and cooked and the like.
Yeah.
Do you soak your lentils or beans beforehand and discard the soaking water?
Some of them, kidney beans and the chickpeas and stuff, but others would just boil for 45 minutes.
Yeah, what the lentils are, so it's easier
just
to boil.
Disappear.
Yeah. If you give it to the child, what would be easier to, or better for the digestive system, to soak and discard the soaking water, just to get those enzyme inhibitors out of it.
Okay, so overnight soak.
Overnight soak, drain them in the morning, and then cook them with fresh water.
Okay.
Rinse them well.
So I'll put that down.
All pulses should be soaked and then rinsed.
Soak.
Mmm. He's been such a good boy.
He's always like this. This is his normal.
Yes. Oh, look, I mean, despite the disability that Trisomy 21 brings with it, I think you're really lucky with... You will have minimal problems.
Yeah.
Within the problems. And I know of Down syndrome children, they're main schooled and cope fine. I mean, they wouldn't be top of the class, but...
Yeah.
They're not the bottom either.
Yeah.
And I know a child, she's now a teenage and she's still main schooled.
Yeah.
And the mother says she's not bottom of the class.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yes, and I mean this gives hope. I've just recently met an adult Down syndrome woman, and until recently she even had a job.
Yeah.
You know, nothing flash, mundane, repetitive kind of things.
Yeah.
But she had a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so she could kind of take part in society, function as a member of society.
Exactly, and she can talk normally. Yes, she's a bit slow, but so what?
Yeah.
You know? So with all that, I think we're getting the best start that we can. Okay, so any other questions now? So we have what we stay on the Nutri21, and other than that, we've talked about diet.
Yeah, what about this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Maca?
Maca? Well, I don't know. I don't know that there has been research done with the I see you just put that on it.
I just put that on it.
With the maca and babies. I don't think there's any research, or not to my knowledge.
So maybe speak to the manufacturers and find out if there's research before we.
Yeah. There is a woman. I can give you a contact. She has done her honors. Research in maca powder, and she's working on maca at the moment.
Yeah.
So she would be, you know, the best person to know, because she would have read all the research on it.
Yeah.
Maca powder. Yeah. Powder and I'm gone blank. I can see her. Oh God, the name's gone blank. It'll come back in a moment.
Yeah.
It'll come back. I'll get the other phone number in the meantime.
Okay.
By then, hopefully, I'll jog my memory. Mm-hmm.
Is that Rupa? Is that Rupa?
Oh, Kim. Kim McClure.
Kim McClure.
Yes.
Okay.
See, I knew it would jog my memory in time. Kim McClure. And try O7552204. If you can't get through, they had the recent change of venue, and they still have the lab, I think, in the old venue, and she's working in the lab, and they shifted the clinic somewhere else. It's actually another naturopathic training institute, and she works there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't get through on that number, I will find out how to get hold of her for
you.
Yeah, get back to me. And
the other phone number?
Thorn, yes. Thorn. I'll get on the Thorn. So, Fowler Cull, and that's phone 1-800-770-904. And, yeah, they will ask you, you know, said who prescribed it, and you just say it was Tini Gruner, and then they'll send it to you.
So that's this one?
Yes.
Okay,
they'll ask.
So
prescribed.
And they're in New Zealand?
They're in New Zealand, but it's a toll-free number.
That's fine.
Yeah. And
So I'll buy, that's one thing I have to
just
buy.
Yeah, but just buy a few so you save yourself
some freight.
Freight, exactly.
Oxyguard.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's from the clinic. And also,
this is in Lismore.
Yeah, that's Lismore.
So I'll get that today. So that's Lismore.
Lismore. And that is Lismore. That's the same clinic. That's for you folks.
Lismore.
Mm-hmm.
So get those
together.
Together.
Yep. And they know my prescribing.
Okay. And
well,
that's the directions to the clinic.
Yes.
Okay. So
clinic.
Mm-hmm. Stay on Nutri 21 in the morning.
Yes. The only thing, that is also a prescription one, and it's only the Nutri 21. We can't get here in New South Wales.
Yeah.
So you need to get when you're up in Tweed or somewhere in a health food
shop.
Well,
I don't even know if you can get it from health food shop.
The health food shop that has a practitioner, they can get practitioner-only products.
Yeah.
But they can only be sold. Hang on, the Nutri 21. Some of their stuff can be sold down under too. And in which case, let me just see. No, that's the WSP emulations. That's not it. This one here. Nutri 21, 77. Not on this. I need to get to the price list. Price list by Queensland. Queensland only product. Nutri 21 powder is a Queensland only one, so you don't get it down here.
Okay.
And yeah, again, show them that it's been prescribed.
Show who?
When you go to a health food shop,
let's say
up in Tweed or somewhere.
Yeah.
And or you may want to ring one up first to check whether they've got it.
Yeah.
And they said it's been prescribed, because just show them this is, you know, it's gone a bit messy now, but
yeah. Okay.
It's,
well,
still
this
been
is,
prescribed.
This is your,
yes, this is
prescription.
My prescription, and have I signed it? Otherwise, I'll better.
Okay.
No, I haven't signed it yet. I'll better sign it.
Yeah. That's fine.
And if they have any issues with that, they can ring me, and my phone number's on here.
Okay. Yeah, my writing, I don't think will confuse the issues.
Yes, but that's fine. That's fine.
That's good. So we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yes, I think we've covered a lot, and we set him right for the next 6 months, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
And you take this, and I hope, together with the explanations on tape, you will make sense of my diagrams.
Yeah. Now, how often should we get together and revise?
Every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
Yeah. Is that all right with
That's
you?
That's fine by me. Yeah. Just is that whatever it takes. I just want to.
I mean, it's not anything going to change unless the eye. I wanted to have a quick look at that eye. That's what it was.
Okay. Come and sit up. Let's sit them up.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'll see anything down for you. Hello, darling. I know that's a bit bright, that eye. Yeah, it's a little bit crusty in there.
I've been trying to clean it. I've got some. Somebody gave me some eye bright tea.
Yes. I've just been
wiping.
Yes. I don't know. Don't suck on my fingers. What it can also happen, the eyes sometimes have a bit of a link to the nasal ear throat cavity, and that it's just sort of something might be a slight opening, or the canal might be the tear duct might be a bit wider or so, and then it's just basically dripping out. I don't know. It could be quite a mechanical problem.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Take it to the GP or?
Well, mention it to the GP, but again, I don't think there's any urgency about it.
Yeah.
Because he's been doing it for some time. You know, just mention it next time and say, well, he's got a bit of a teary eye, and you know, he might be able to look at it. He has got special instruments that I don't have.
Yeah.
Or you know, he might just say, well, look, it's nothing, and we'll just wait and see. Just watch with taking a bit of those B vitamins out, whether he is quite so sweaty, or whether that settles down a little bit. But it could just be his constitution.
Yeah, also it's just coming out of summer now, so we'll probably cool down anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But let's see this?
Yes.
That wasn't there this morning.
Oh, okay.
So he's quite sensitive to the heat.
Yes. Right.
So actually, in the last few days, I've noticed more heat rashes in the last 3 or 4 days than I've noticed before.
Yes, but that goes away.
It goes away if I put them in a bath.
Yeah. Just inside the bath already, or just straight after, or how long does it take?
If he's sitting in a bath for half an hour, it's almost disappeared, and then half an hour after it's dried and out, then it's completely disappeared.
Gone.
It's
Good.
Completely gone.
Yeah.
So. If he gets a bath within the hour, you can have that.
Mm. And that's just a bath in the bath as a hot bath.
Just lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
And do you have him out in a kind of a in the yard or in a bath or down to the beach or somewhere?
If it's a warm day, but usually it's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, if you have a kind of a big, big. Even the washing kind of.
I think the washing tub in the back veranda.
Yes.
Maybe we'll try giving a bath.
Yes,
there.
Or just these little baths that you can buy. These little pool things. You know, they're only that deep. For little children to play in. If you want to invest in one of those and just play with him there, and in the hot days, just let him sit in there. Frequently.
Well, that's his mum's done that in the summer when it gets hot. She'll sit him in the bath and in the middle of the room and just let him play there in the afternoon.
Yes.
He's very frightened of water though.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. So
we got a seat for him, so he's held upright in the bath.
Yes.
He's in a chair.
Okay.
But if we were just holding him down in the bath, he'd be freaking.
Okay.
So he never liked water.
Okay. Well, that's.
Maybe he remembers a past life. Who knows?
You never know. We don't know.
Who knows?
What's happening there? And some are just like that, and we just need to accept it.
Yep. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll pack up.
And you're set?
We're set. And how much do I owe for today?
We'll make it a double session, and we'll make it a 110.
All right, thanks very much.
Yeah, that's fine. 55, you know, for a child of that age per hour.
That's great, thank you. I'll give you that money first. You want insight here, don't you? 110. Thanks a lot.
Can you claim it? With health insurance?
We don't have health insurance.
Yeah, so you can't claim it. Do you want a receipt?
Give me a receipt anyway. Okay. And I don't know how our tax works, but we'll see if we can do something with the receipt.
Two, three, seven.
Now, do you mind if I just clean this out and put some water in it for him?
No, that's fine. I've got, I'll show you. Okay. Oh, you've got water for him already?
Yeah, I've got some.
Because I've got some boiled rain there too. Belly. The boy 110 dollars consultation. Day, Oxygard, good. That was quarter teaspoon a day. If you come to the natural medicine clinic and they have problems with finding the Oxygard and the sublingual B12, they should actually be next to each other on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I will be out for my next appointment, and they can ring me on the mobile.
Okay, they've got your number.
Yep, that's my number. My mobile number is also on here.
It's on there.
Yeah,
right.
So that's easy.
You can have more if you want. You can have more. Have you ever heard of a trisomy 21 child just growing up normally, functioning normally with normal IQ?
I haven't really looked into the IQ side of things, and I'm all I have seen is those particularly that one child, and I know because the mother's a naturopath, that she has supplemented the child from early days onwards, and then done a bit of research on it, that, you know, those are individual cases. We are, in the research, we're getting more the global approach, you know, the statistical approach. And so we don't see it so much, but I know that her child, she's answering the phone and she sounds totally normal on the phone.
Yeah.
And I know she's main school, she's a top champion swimmer. And, you know, I was there one day and had a meal with them and talked, and the daughter was sitting next to me, and we just had a very normal conversation.
Right.
Yeah, so that's as much as my experience goes with normal Down syndrome.
Okay.
But they certainly can. One thing I realized that the mother had to repeat things 2-3 times, you know, to remind her, come on now, you know, I want you to get dressed or whatever.
Okay.
But.
How old?
14. 13,
14
or so.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah, yeah. I know, to remind kids. But it's. And that she's main school and not the bottom of the class, I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
And anybody who's main schooled has got good chances for a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get, of course, it also depends on the amount of damage that's been done already. You know, not every Down syndrome child is the same. It's not every, you know, normal person is the same. You know, some are highly intelligent and others, you know,
yeah.
are not very intelligent. I'm just writing quickly down.
We're going soon.
21. Yes, I'll give you 2 minutes and then I'll quarter teaspoon, and that's Dr. Vera's. And the rest I know. And diet is very, the. Protein powder, and vary the formula. And that's about whatever we said.
Okay.
And sock pulses. Sock pulses. And it's all yours. And
you can go.
Got and
thanks for that.
Further investigations. Get HCY checked yearly.
Now, a question
yeah.
for a friend of mine who's he has a. A boy with Down syndrome who's about probably 5 now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been on any special supplements.
Mm.
And, you know, he doesn't speak much. You know, he's, I think he's going to school, but he'll have a kind of one-on-one special assistant. But for a child that's gone through early childhood without any kind of extra supplements, is there any advantage to giving them any of the things that we talked about? There is.
Yes, there is.
Okay, so I should tell
but
him maybe to.
We need a consult because lots of that stuff is prescription
that's
now.
For
yeah.
him, for him only.
Yeah.
So I'll tell him. Maybe I'll even let him listen to what we've talked about just to give him an idea that you know what you're doing.
Yes.
And then, if he needs convincing, I'll let him hear that. Otherwise, I'll see if I can get him to come down, because he was kind of commenting the other day that. Right, Rupa, at you know, nearly 1 year old, seems a lot brighter than his kid.
Yes, but that is again, it's not solely that he hasn't had any supplements. As I said just a moment ago, you know, as much as under normal people, we've got some people who just, what do you say, that they haven't really got it, and they end up with more mundane sort of jobs. And then you've got highly intelligent people who end up as professors.
Yeah.
The same range you have with Down syndrome. And the disability is sometimes only slight and sometimes more severe. But what we're trying to do with that, guard against any further deterioration. And in fact, the research that I conducted with my student was on Down syndrome children between the ages of 5 and 10, and we had positive outcomes.
Okay, that's good. So
yeah.
there's a lot to be gained from...
One parent actually said, my child has never talked and has not been very responsive towards parents. Now we can cuddle him. He starts to utter his first words. And that child is about 5 years old.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly the age, but somewhere between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
So that was a parent's feedback.
Okay. Right. So it's not as though the development has stopped there. You know,
no.
There's a lot more development to happen.
The earlier we get them, the better, obviously.
Yeah.
And the less damage is done because of that hydrogen peroxide damage
yeah.
that is happening with them. And so if we guard with the antioxidants, we hydrogen peroxide is our least problematic damaging free radical. It's not even a free radical, a damaging oxidative species in the body.
Yes.
But we need to avoid to create any others, because then they nudge it. It's like the bad boys. As long as there are more bad boys around, the ambivalent child will be pulled over.
Yeah.
If we eliminate all the bad boys, the ambivalent child will do what the parents say and will not go anywhere. But I'm talking about nutrients in the body at
the moment.
That's
where the iron comes in, really.
Yeah, iron is one of the bad boys for it. Too much copper is another bad one.
Yeah.
That will also draw it over into a more free, you know, more damaging radical.
Yeah.
But if there's nothing there that pulls it over, it just stays.
Okay, that's, you know? That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've seen coenzyme Q10 mentioned in quite a lot of research material.
It's, I think, in that Nutri 21 anyway.
Is that something that, you know, is it sufficient quantities there to...
For a little child,
for a little child, so we don't have to get mega doses of anything?
No. We don't need to give mega doses of anything to the child unless we find there's some other, you know, issues. But all we need to do is give the things that the metabolic, the genetic abnormality is deranging.
Yeah.
So we're just giving that to normalize.
Just rebalance it.
Yeah. And then, you know, he should be fine.
Okay.
And
thanks,
he seems a great child, so I think you'll have much joy.
He's in great shape.
Yeah.
I think he'll be speaking early.
Yes.
And I'm sure he will. But
yes.
We'll see. I'm not going to push him too hard. He can do what he wants to do.
That's fine. Hello, you little worm. You're gorgeous. You know you're gorgeous. You're so gorgeous.
He's got a fan club.
He's such a gorgeous, gorgeous little baby. And just a little toddler soon. And a little toddler soon. Yes. Strong legs. Yes, you'll be learning to walk soon. Then you'll be running around, and then you'll be into mischief. And then your mum and dad will be behind you.
After you.
then
we're going to have fun.
Yes, then you'll have fun.
Oh. We're ready.
You're ready, okay.
We've got the playpen. Playpen with 2/3 the size of this room.
Oh, okay.
And we've got all the grating fences for the doors, and you know, got everything ready.
Yes, good.
And I have to start putting them on soon. Because he's not going to be like his big sister. His big sister was an angel. She, when she was 2 years old, I could put a bunch of CDs and lay them all out along the floor, and she wouldn't touch them. I said, don't touch them, and she would just play everywhere else, but she'd never touch the CDs. And when she was 2 years old, I was
platform
to put the CD into the CD player, you know, trained her up how to put it in, take one out, put it in the box, get another one, put it in the CD player when she was two. So that's the kind of temperament she's got. But I think this guy's going to be like a tornado.
Could well be, But that's good too.
Boys are different.
Yes.
Boys are different.
Okay. Well, in 6 months, give me a ring.
Okay.
And we'll have a look at it, because 6 months we may not be doing at that particular time.
That's fine.
And I'll take that too.
Yeah, thanks.
And you can get some of it. Dolly going?
Yep. That's good. I'm glad we talked.
Good. And you got your recorder
I've
as well.
Recorder, that's
yes,
in the
that's
box.
In there. I see it.
It's actually still on. Let's